There were a few times that I quoted to my children from Daniel chapter 25. They didn't buy it, but I did try. We are going to talk about Daniel this evening, because Daniel is an example to us of one who achieved great success. When we look at the life of Daniel, one of the things that stands out, we recognize he achieved great success in the physical world. He became a great leader, one of the rulers, even though he was a captive. But the reason he gained such great success was because he was successful in serving God. And we want to talk about that this evening as we consider some things about Daniel, who gained great prominence and power. He started out preeminent among the children of Israel, actually. And we'll notice that as we read here in Daniel chapter 1. I want to read the first 7 verses of that chapter as we begin. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them the daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. If you took note there, as we were reading along about verse 3 and verse 4, the things that are used to describe these youths that were to be taken would indicate that these young men were of the upper echelon of the nation of Judah. They were of the royal family. They were of the nobles. And so we recognize that Daniel started out as prominent. He started out as one who had wisdom and demonstrated wisdom. But he gained prominence and preeminence even among the wise men of Babylon. We read on down into chapter 1, we get into chapter 17 and read there regarding the things that are said about Daniel. It says he even understood all kinds of visions and dreams, and he surpassed the knowledge of the wise men. We remember the story of Daniel, how he was called in to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and showed his wisdom, and of course he attributed his wisdom to God. But it put him in a position above others. He was given power over all of Babylon, we read in the latter part of chapter 2. And again in chapter 5, we read that he was given power over all of Babylon. Put in a position of authority. He received similar power even after the Babylonians were taken over by the Medes and Persians. He was once again placed in a power, given power, I should say, in the Medo-Persian Empire. And he reached that because of certain things in his life that were consistent. I think a lot of times when we talk about Daniel, we emphasize how young he was. When we read in the first chapter, he's a very young man from the indication. And we talk about how he was focused when he was young. But I want us to, as we think about these things this evening, and we're going to touch on how it lasted through his life, I want us to note that. This is not just something that happened to Daniel when he was young. This was something that Daniel repeated throughout his life. It was a consistent way of life with him. And I think that's one of the reasons that even those of us who are mature in Christ and in our physical lives can learn from the young man Daniel and his life as it's illustrated to us in the first six chapters of the book of Daniel. Because this was a consistent thing with him. And when we first look at Daniel, the first things we see about Daniel is that he was a man of purpose. Certainly, it's illustrated very well in the very beginning of the story of Daniel. In verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1, we read, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. You read that from the old King James, you remember it says he purposed. Daniel made a decision in his life that I will not do this. And he stuck with that decision. He was willing to suffer whatever the consequences were, and he enjoyed whatever the blessings were of remaining with that purpose that he had set in his mind. And even though he was a young boy in a strange land, he said, I will not go against the teaching I have had. I will not defile myself with the king's food. And I'm sure in other lessons we've had about Daniel that you've probably heard this was a very bold thing for him to do. And certainly it was. Here he's a captive in a foreign land. He doesn't have any of the adults that seem to be with him. He seems to be these young men on their own in control of the king and the king's servants. And he tells the king's servants, I won't eat that stuff you brought in here. Because he decided, I'm not going to. I'm reminded when I read this passage of Ezra, who purposed in his heart to know the will of God, to teach the will of God, to obey the will of God. Daniel is one that stands with Ezra in that particular decision. He had purpose. And because of his willingness to put God first and to stand firm on that, Daniel was granted favor in the sight of others. God blessed him. Now, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commanders of the officials. Another individual that we see similar things like this taking place with is in the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob. We read in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. And again, in the latter other verses of chapter 39, verse 21 through 23, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Here's another man who was taken out of his home, put into a foreign country, but he had purpose. And as a result, he was blessed. God was with him, and he helped him, and he profited him. Because Daniel put God first, God blessed him in a way that favorably impressed others. God expects the same of us. He expects us to have purpose. And I think as we continue through looking at Daniel and make some of these other points, we're going to see that this purpose in Daniel is not something that was just when he was young. This continued with him. His strong sense of purpose is one of the things that stands out about Daniel, and it's one of the things that we need to emulate. Because a strong sense of purpose in a general sense, I know not in every single instance, but in a general sense, it leads to respect and admiration from others. We're much more respectful and think much more about someone who stands for what they believe in, even if they don't believe in what we believe in, than we are someone that just changes depending on how the wind's blowing. We need to have purpose in our life, and Jesus makes it very clear what that purpose is. And it's the same purpose that Daniel had, to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We seek the will of God. We fulfill the will of God in our lives no matter what the circumstances. No matter what we're presented with, we do what God wants us to do. We need to be people of purpose. We need to dare to be like Daniel and stand for purpose, the purpose of serving God no matter what's going on in our life. God will favor us. He will watch over and care for us. We also see, even in this example, that Daniel was a man of principle. Still, as he was a young man, he refused to compromise his convictions. His purpose was to serve God, and he was willing to do whatever was necessary to do that. And he stood on those principles. He refused to eat the king's meat and wine. And we touched on this a moment ago. That means he came when the servant of the king who was caring for them came to him and said, "Here's your food." Daniel said, "I'm not going to eat it." In fact, as we read there in chapter 1, we read that he explained. And even went so far as to tell the commander, "Here's what we'll do." In verse 12, we read, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." That passage right there tells me that Daniel's principle stand was not just based upon his own ideas, but it was based in his faith in God. Was based in his desire to please God, and he was willing and able to do that, and he knew that God would stand with him. He would not compromise his principles. Yet, let's turn on over to Daniel chapter 5. In Daniel chapter 5, we read of the account of Daniel with Belshazzar. Daniel chapter 5, in particular, in verse 13 beginning, Daniel was brought before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? Now, I have heard about you that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now the wise men and conjurers were brought in before me that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me. But they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally heard about you that you're able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems. Now, if you're able to read the inscription and make its interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple and wear a necklace of gold around your neck, and you will have authority as the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Keep your gifts for yourself, and give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known to him." Oftentimes when we make reference to this, we talk about how Daniel refused the gifts of the king. Well, if you keep reading, you find he received the gifts anyway. What happened here is Daniel told the king, "I'm not doing this to better myself. I'm doing this because it's evident to me that God is involved." Daniel stood on his principles. He was not going to give the king an interpretation based on what the king would reward him. He was going to give him the truth. You know, this is very different than a fellow we read about elsewhere in the Old Testament. You remember the story of Balaam and Balak. Seemed like the more money he received, the more likely he was to give a favorable report to the king. He failed in that. But it seems his desire was to gain from whatever he was doing. Daniel was not like that. He stood on principle. He was not doing this to gain fame or money. He was doing it because it needed to be done. We see that again in chapter 6. In Daniel chapter 6, certainly this is one of those stories that we all recognize and understand. The story of Daniel standing against the rules of Darius and being cast into the lion's den because of that. Read in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. "When Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem.
And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. You remember the decree? No one can pray to anybody but the king, what it boiled down to. But Daniel kept doing what he knew he was supposed to do. Why? Because Daniel was a man of principle. And if you continue reading these stories, you find that even though he may have been rejected by his peers and he suffered punishment at the hands of the ruling powers at this particular time, he was cast into the lion's den. But he still did not recant from his principled stand. Daniel had principles. He stood for something, and what he stood for was God. And if we want to be successful, whether we're talking about in life or we're talking more importantly about spiritually successful, we're going to have to stand for something. Is it the song says, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything? We have to stand. We will be respected for it by those that matter. We might be ridiculed outwardly, but there will be respect. Many will wish they had the same kinds of convictions. I wish I'd been willing to stand up and do that. And oftentimes it boils down to the fact that there was one person who was willing to stand firm is the reason that things actually got done. He stood up and said, no more. This is where I stand. When someone trusted is needed, who are they going to get? The person who changes their mind with every little bit of gossip that comes through, or the one that stands consistently on truth? God wants those who stand by the principles of their word. Those who will do what they say they will do. In Psalm 15, we read, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Take note of this. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Who says, I will do something, and then finds out that's going to cost me more than I thought, but he still does it anyway. Because he stands. He's principled. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. James, speaking of similar things, says, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. We need to be like Daniel and stand for what we believe in. Many problems have arisen in the lives of men and women because they did not stand. And many difficulties have arisen among the members of the body of Christ because some would not stand. We need to have purpose in our life, and that purpose needs to be focused upon God. And then we need to be strong enough to stand on that purpose. Isn't that what Paul tells us over in Ephesians chapter 6? The reason God gave us the armor, the Word of God, is so that we would be able to stand. And being able to stand, we need to stand firm. Now, we can't stand on godly principles unless we understand those godly principles. And that's why Paul tells us that we need to put on the armor of God. We need to have the Word dwelling within us to guide us and protect us and help us. But knowledge of that word allows us to stand firm in what we believe. And the more familiar we are with it, the better able we are to stand firm for the truth. And I'm convinced more than ever in my life, and I've been hearing stuff like this all my life, that it's going to get harder and harder to stand
But if we want to be successful, we've got to stand firm. We've got to have principles.
And we've got to be willing to be exhausted because of them. Maybe even take loss. We need to demonstrate by our example the value of being led by principle rather than the whims and cares of the world around us. Being guided by that which we know is right instead of whatever we can get out of it. There's more than enough folks in this world that are satisfied with whatever they can get and focused on getting the biggest buck for the bang. We need to be focused on truth, righteousness, and stand firm in that. May have to take a few lumps every now and then. But God will be on our side just like He was with Daniel. We also see as we look at the life of Daniel that he was a man of purity. It began with the story of his early life in captivity. He was not willing to defile himself with the king's meats. There's an imagery of keeping himself pure in relation to the uncleanliness of those things that were offered to him. Daniel had grown up reading and being taught about the things of the law of Moses and the unclean things and the clean things, and he was not willing to soil himself with those things that were unclean. And it continued all through his life. In Daniel chapter 6, we read in the first four verses there, "It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom that they might be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him." They couldn't find anything that Daniel was doing that was wrong. You know, we live in a world of background checks and of looking for things that have gone wrong. How many folks have we read of that we maybe had looked up to over the years, and now people have gone and they've dug up things that happened sometimes decades ago, sometimes just weeks ago, that nobody knew about? Or some few people knew about, and they were things that nobody would have ever imagined this person to have been involved in. Why? Because they're not pure in their actions. But when these rulers began to try to find some way to pull Daniel down, to make him look bad, they couldn't find anything wrong in what Daniel had done. Oh, that I could say the same thing about me. I hope that I can over the last decade or two, maybe. But then again, when I look at my own background, I can see some weaknesses and some problems that cropped up that I didn't react to properly. And I'm convinced that most all of us can. I don't think that they were saying Daniel had never committed any sin. He's not lifted up as one who was holy above all others on the earth, but he'd never done wrong in any of his dealings in the government. There were no second set of books. There were no hidden funds somewhere. There were no secret friends, no alliances. They couldn't find anything he did because Daniel was just as pure and righteous in his business dealings as he was with his God. He was just as focused and principled. And if we want to enjoy success in this life and more importantly, in our spiritual lives, we need to be focused on remaining pure, on doing what is right above all else, no matter what it costs us. And of course, this is an outgrowth of Daniel's first principle, and that is, I serve God ahead of everything else. Daniel was able to remain pure in his conduct. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. That's one of the things that has given me trouble throughout all the years, especially that I've been preaching. How can I get up and tell folks you need to live this way if I'm not living that way myself? How can I tell folks you need to be doing this if I'm not doing this myself? That doesn't mean that I go around raising up a banner and saying, hey, look, here's what I'm doing so I can tell you what to do. But if I'm pure in my conduct, others are going to see that. And I will be an example, and that's what I hope to be. When Paul wrote to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, the first 10 verses of that chapter, he begins talking to Titus, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be discouraged or dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, not showing, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. It doesn't matter who we are or what station of life we may be in, we need to be pure. We need to be righteous in all of our dealings. It will go better for us in this world, and it certainly will make a difference in our lives of service unto God. I just realized these are not here. There's the ones I'm looking at. I got them backwards. Daniel was a man of purity because he remained righteous in everything. If we do that, we will be more successful. Now pretend like this says prayer on the bottom, and you'll have the references for prayer now. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, as we looked at just a moment ago, Daniel was consistent in prayer. Chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us that Daniel didn't just decide, okay, Darius has made a ruling that says I can't pray, so I'm going to go make sure everybody can see me praying. That's not what happened with Daniel. Daniel just kept doing the praying that he had always been doing anyway. He knew that the document was signed. He entered into his house in the roof chamber where he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Daniel just kept doing what he'd always done. Because Daniel was a man of prayer. Go back and look at those instances when he interpreted dreams. He prayed for that interpretation. He talked to God. That wasn't an outstanding instance. That was his common practice. And I'm convinced that's why Daniel was able to stay so focused on his purpose. Why Daniel was able to be so principled and stand so firm. We don't have it on the screen, but if you recall, in the latter part of that chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, after he lists all those things, the next thing Paul says, pray. Pray. The armor of God won't help us if we don't pray. Jesus presented a parable to his disciples to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Keep praying. Prayer needs to be a dedicated part of our life. It needs to become a habit. It needs to be such a part of our life that when we don't, we miss it. We recognize it's gone. That may mean that for a long time, we have to put a note up on the board that says, "Have you prayed today?" Or put something at the top of our schedule on the calendar or on our phones, whatever it is, that says, "Did you pray?" For most of us, it ought not have to go to that extent. We ought to have been doing it so long that it is habit to us. Well, I was brought up in a house that prayed every meal. It doesn't matter where I sit down, what meal I'm eating, the first thing I think about is prayer. Wherever I'm at. Why? Because it's so ingrained with the process of eating, of taking a meal. It's just a part of what I do. We need to pray when we get up, and we pray when we go to bed. We pray when we eat. We pray before we go to school. We pray before we go to work. We pray when we come home from work. We pray before we take off on a trip. We pray when we get back home. We pray when we study our Bible. We pray when we get through studying our Bible. We pray before we go to services. We pray after we get home from services. We need to pray all the time. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, Paul told the Colossian brethren. Prayer needs to be so much a part of our life that it helps us to stand by our principles and keeps us focused on our purpose. And doing that will help us to be successful both in life. More importantly, it will help us to remain pure in the sight of God so that we can stand before Him on the day of judgment and receive, "Enter thou into the joy of your Lord," rather than, "Depart from me, you unprofitable servant." If we want to live a purposeful, principled, pure life, it needs to include prayer. Regular, consistent, constant prayer. Success is ours. Much of the world believes that the way to get ahead is to just conform to what's going on around you and go along with the flow. And that's not the case. Those who are most successful are those who stand, who have purpose and principle, and keep themselves focused upon that purpose. We can be successful. We can have those who look up to us and seek advice and understanding from us. Those who call upon us to assist with things that they know that we are helpful with, that we are knowledgeable in, because we stand for truth. And more importantly, when we stand before God in judgment, if we've kept focus upon our purpose, stood firm in that, and kept ourselves away from sin, we can be justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, because we were obedient servants to God. And we can have a home in heaven when this life is over. Purposeful, principled, pure, and perfect.
they will help us to stand firm in this world and to be righteous before God. Amen. If you look this evening at five things in your life that are amiss, maybe you failed in one of these areas, we encourage you to correct that. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. And we can assist you in that opportunity. It's yours. Why not come where we stand and sing for you?